Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hey everyone, this is Muge Wood, along with my awesome co-host Christine Zamuda. Today we are delighted to bring you a very special guest yet again, and this will be my awesome husband of 30 years, Brad Wood. He's actually on this podcast for a very specific reason. Besides being my awesome partner, he is elected to retire maybe a little earlier than the norm from corporate America, so we are going to talk about that. We are going to talk about how he's getting refired up these days with his focus on a brand new nonprofit called UTMA All Stars that's focused on financial literacy for disadvantaged youth, alongside with some matching funds to set them up for success as they embark on life. Now, let's turn our attention to our guest. Dear Brad, please introduce yourself, your background, your current status, post-retirement. How are things?
All right. So my name's Brad Wood. So I grew up in New Jersey in the 70s, and I was the youngest of four children. My father was a civil engineer. And as I was growing up, I wanted to be a civil engineer. But I wanted to do work in the offshore area. I saw James Cameron's The Abyss, and just the idea of living under ocean and the complexities of being able to do that. And when you think about it, you know, a lot of the turmoil around the world is associated with land. And if you can actually build civilizations in underwater, it would just open, you know, huge areas. So I wanted to go and be an engineer. So I went to Lehigh University for my master's and got a master's in civil engineering structures. And as I was finishing up my master's thesis, I met Muge, and I was on my way to go to University of Texas at Austin to get my PhD in civil engineering structures, but I was going to be working on concrete structures. And so moved to UT, and Miguel and I got married in December of 1993, so we're almost 30 years.
And we'll make it, I think.
we'll see how this podcast goes.
Yeah, we'll see how the podcast goes.
Oh, we have got like 6 weeks. Hopefully we make it. Yes, thank you.
So then after I graduated, I joined Exxon, and I achieved my goal. I became a civil engineer in the offshore structures group of Exxon, and I was in that group until the merger with Mobil. And then I started going, and I moved into the technology organization doing software and software development and programming, and was in that group, you know, taking various roles of you know, subject matter expert because of my role in the research organization, all the way to supervisory and manager positions, ultimately until I became a business architect focused on business strategy and business roadmaps for the research organization. And but, you know, as Miguel and I were a young couple, you know, we had we were getting $1,000 a month stipend for being at UT Austin. And so we're, you know, trying to balance bills. So I maintain an Excel spreadsheet of, OK, I can pay this bill today. And I'm going to sign up for this 0% interest card, and we'll transfer the balance over there, and then we'll pay, you know, the minimum balance in 6 months. And then so I've been very involved in our finances for a long time, just trying to keep us, you know, above the waterline of the payments and our expenditures. Because when you're a young couple, you know, all these things happen. And then when we moved to Houston to, you know, starting to have a more salary, but it doesn't make a difference because your expenses go up. So it's like, oh, we want to save for a house, down payment for a house. And, oh, we need to furnish the house once we buy the house. And so constantly managing all those things. And at the same time, I also had a goal around my retirement, you know, how much I needed to save. And I had a spreadsheet, and Miguel hated the spreadsheet because I had her work until age 74.
That spreadsheet was in need of severe update.
Well, I am.
And that's 74 years, right?
Yeah, age of 74. And then, but we were living to 104, so it was all good. And I said, we have to make sure that we have enough money to live to 104. And I started figuring out, what that number needs to be, and how much we needed to spend per year, and all those things. And as I was getting older and working with Exxon, I started to get closer to my 55th birthday. I was about maybe 2 years away, and I was looking at my spreadsheet, and I was like, we've done pretty well with Microsoft stock and with Exxon stock, and compounding interest has really done very well for us. Our kids went to in-state school, so their 529 plans were paying off, and I started looking at the number that I planned to have when I reached 74, and I'm like, we're pretty much there. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking, it's like, I could retire when I turn 55. And she's like, what?
and that's the truth. I hope you changed her number from 74 when you had that conversation.
So we talked about it. And I was like, I'd really like to think about retiring at 55. But I had 2 years of contemplating this and looking at numbers. And one of the nice things about Exxon is they have a pension plan.
Right.
And the pension plan is a guaranteed benefit of so much money per month. And that's what they guarantee. And it's based on your salary times your years of service and all these things. But until you reach the age of 55, you only get 20% of that amount. And then the day you turn 55, you now get 75% of that total amount. And then every year after that, you get another 5%. And so at 100%, if you retire at age 60, you get 100% of that annuity for the rest of your life if you retire. The alternative is to use a lump sum. And the thing is that lump sum is tied back to, a bundle of treasury notes at, 10-year, 20-year, 30-year treasuries. And the interest rates at that time were really, really low 2 years before I was going to retire. We had the pandemic and, near zero interest rates. And that there was a lump sum number that was really, really big. And I'm watching that number. And then all of a sudden, the interest rates started rising. And they started rising more. And that big number started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It got to the point where just before my birthday, the projections were that number was going to drop down to the point where I would be working for free if I didn't retire.
Wow.
What the amount of money I would lose by not taking the lump sum then was equivalent to working for free for at least a year. And it, as interest rates continued to rise, probably a couple of years. And so it's like, this doesn't make sense. So we talked and says, I think it's time to pull the trigger. But the interesting thing was, is I'm talking to, I'm a mentor to a lot of people at Exxon because of my role and the experience I had. And a lot of people are mystified by the whole ExxonMobil retirement plan. It's like, okay, what do you get? How's this number work? How do all these things? And it's very, very complicated. And you have a very short time window in order to get everything done and get it done right. And so, you have the whole, you have Exxon stock awards. Okay, well, how do you do all that transition? And how do you get out of the company 401k plan and migrate it over to IRA? So I was talking to a lot of people because I was well-versed in a lot of these different investment vehicles. And we've talked to financial advisors and all that. And I came to realize that, one of the things that really people don't know is finance. I mean, they may know math, they may know politics, but they just don't really understand finance. And back when our kids were younger, I started investing them in UTMA accounts where we could gift money to them and they could invest in this. We would invest in the S&P 500 index fund. And we started, when I learned about it, they were about 11 and 13. So it was a little bit late. But the compounding interest over time, they could do a down payment on a house by the time they turned 18. And when they turned 18, that money transferred to them. It was now in their brokerage account. And they could, you know, buy Coca-Cola stock or Disney stock or mm-hmm. Southwest Airlines stock, and off they were going. And, you know, one of the things when you're in retirement, you're like, okay, what's going to be my next goal? I always had a goal throughout the life. It's like, okay, I want to have this much money when I was 74. Yeah, I achieved that early. Fantastic. Okay, what's my next goal? And my next goal really came around, how can I make a difference in my community? How can I give back to my community and really share the learnings I've had? And one of the best groups I really thought about was children, because mm-hmm. if I could help children from, you know, starting at age kindergarten and provide them with foundations and fundamentals of financial literacy, so by the time they reach age 18, they're not going to get caught in the, you know, the payday loans or the, you know, pawn shops or the title loans and a lot of things that cause you to get sucked into the debt trap. And I thought, well, you can't just give them the knowledge, because it's something they need to apply. They need some capital, investment mm-hmm. capital to be able to do this. And I thought about it. I said, well, if I created a charity and we donated $200 per year, and we got them to match it, so they would have $400 per year, starting in kindergarten till the time they reach 18, they could have between $9,000 and $14,000 in that account mm-hmm. with a 6% interest rate. And you could put a down payment on a car for that. And I thought, I got to do this. This would change the world if every child, every United States citizen, by the time they turned 18, could put a down payment on a car or use that money and mm-hmm. compound it until they reach 64. And, you know, they would have upwards of, you know, $170,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're working with disadvantaged youth, because having access to travel and transportation opens up a whole job options that they wouldn't otherwise have.
Exactly. And the other part was I was meeting with, some other folks that were trying to do some startups, and she was dealing with foster kids. Mm-hmm. And when you think about foster kids, they have, you know, once they reach 18, they're out of the foster care system and they're out on the street. Mm-hmm. And so she's trying to set up this where like halfway houses where, you know, the kids have a place to sleep and, you know, they can give them some supplemental training so that they can get jobs and all that. I'm like, these are the same kids, you know, you know them. Early on, by the time they reach 18, they would have dollars in their pocket too. Mm-hmm. That could change so many lives. So the idea is to start this small. So we're starting it here in Fort Bend County, Texas. But the idea is to grow this so that you could have chapters all around Texas and maybe all around the United States, that no child, no citizen of this country at the age of 18 should be poor.
Right, right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And how do you get across the concept of compounding interest and also encourage these young people to delay spending? Because everyone really likes things in the now, especially when you don't have a lot and you finally have some money in your hands, right?
Well, the interesting thing is psychologists have discovered that the saving, you know, being able to wait, the savings versus spending kind of switch in kids happens between age of 7 and 13.
Mm.
And I see knowledge, you know, the whole idea about compounding interest is probably too much for a kindergartner or a fifth grader to really understand. But it's the knowledge, it's the compounding of the knowledge. So what we're planning to use is the we're working with Chase Bank, and they have, as well as the FDIC.gov, there's a Money Matters curriculum that goes from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade that covers age-appropriate topics. So a kindergartner, you know, you give them a sheet of paper, and it's like, okay, here's a quarter, put the quarter on top of the quarter symbol, and take the nickel and put it on top of the nickel. Just understanding, you know, the different monetary pieces of currency, and then, oh, yeah, let's try to add those up and tell how much is on the page and write that down. And mm-hmm. and so you're already introducing concepts of math and currency, you know, separation of currency into the different classes that, you know, is something that probably kids may not have experienced.
Right, right. And it's great, and then, I would think, from your perspective, to attach yourself to a like organization with a mission who's scaling and reaching, right? And then you all slipstream into that and add additional support, start to identify potential participants, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I talked to, you know, other organizations, and there's no organization that I was able to find that does the three things we're trying to do. One is the financial literacy curriculum, which, you know, we can have a standardized curriculum, but also the dollar for dollar matching in a UTMA account. I mean, the UTMA account is a custodial account. You put the money in, it doesn't come out until they reach age 18. Mm-hmm. And so for every dollar they put in, we'll match with a dollar. And if they don't have the money to put in for that, we can also do direct grants for that. But the idea is to, you know, if I give $100 to a kindergartner, that has a, you know, three, almost four times multiplier by the time they turn 18. It's huge.
Right.
And so I see using compounding dollars as having a huge lever and a benefit over giving today's benefit to today's need. You should use compounding benefits for future needs. It makes so much more sense.
It is, I think it is remarkable to me, the pairing of financial education with matching funds, because you can certainly give funds to disadvantaged youth at any stage, maybe to cover their college tuition or transportation cost or whatever it may be, or you can offer financial education. But I think pairing the two with the hopes that the power of compounding interest is understood. And once they get that seed fund, so to speak, at the age of 18, they use it in the best way possible. So one thing I'm thinking about, and I think we are continually thinking about this, is it is a long-term investment into a kid and the family, but that's what makes it powerful. But how do you think about making it stay? Because 12, 13 years is a long time. For a commitment, yeah. Sometimes for this child and the family to stay with the program. What are your thoughts on that? How to make it lasting?
Well, our best bet is to try to make it as easy as possible for them to participate. So we're trying to keep, you know, this, you know, the gathering places where we're providing the training. So like our first training right now is scheduled for, we're going to go work at the Chase Bank in Stafford and, over on Willcrest, and they have a conference center there that holds, you know, 30 to 40 people. And so we'll have our first session there with kindergarten through second graders for the first hour from 11 till 12. And then from 12 to 12:30, we'll have open session where they can sign up for Chase banking accounts or UTMA accounts. And we'll put in our first grant so that they have, you know, the funds, and we'll have paper forms they can fill out. And basically, we mail those in to Vanguard. We're working with Vanguard to create the UTMA accounts. And then once those accounts are established, we'll start populating it and funding the S&P 500 index funds. And that money, they get monthly statements or quarterly statements that go to their house. And they see, oh, $33 went into my account. And now it's $37 because the S&P 500 went up. And that type of growth over time can be, you know, self-fulfilling, because they say, oh, we want to go back so we can get another $33, and then, you know, go back again and again. And you see that, you know, it's not like winning the lottery. It's not a one-time thing. This is growing a tree step by step, and it needs to be continually watered. Now, certainly if the child and their family move to a different district, you know, the money that goes into there is still the child's. And so by the time they turn 18, yes, the money will compound. It won't be as large as, you know, $9,000 to $14,000, but it will still be a fairly significant amount of money that at the age of 18, Vanguard sends them a letter, says, hey, you know, this, we need to transfer this account to your ownership. And that money is theirs. But our goal is to keep them tied with us and also keep connected. The other thing that we're doing is we submitted an application to JPMorgan Chase to create online curriculum. so that we'd have financial literacy from K through 12 online. So they could get the credit of attending one of the sessions by attending and doing the online sessions. And that way we could then continue to stay in touch with them, even if they go outside the Fort Bend County area.
Yeah. That's I think that
this is so expansive. I mean, it's right. It's very modular. We have a very standard curriculum. We have a standard process, and you can see how this little molecule could expand and you know cover so much more.
I think the partnerships are also going to be key to add credibility, visibility, scale, just like Christine, the work stuff that we do when you go to market. With an offering, right, of any kind, how you need to create that engine. So shifting gears a little bit, I know, Brad, you have been spending a lot of time setting up this foundation from scratch, which is actually very different from volunteering within the context of an existing organization. And you had a lot of learnings in the process. That may be interesting for our subscribers to hear as they may consider starting their own nonprofit for a cause that they deeply care about. What were some learnings and insights that you have gained so far?
So I actually documented the roadmap, but the first step is always to figure out and test your idea to see if it's really going to be feasible. There's a executive organization in a lot of major cities that, you can bounce your nonprofit idea against them and see, hey, is there something already out there that does exactly the same thing and you just aren't aware of it? And mm-hmm. and sometimes that 70% of the ideas that people come up with are already things that are existing. The other part is you also have to test against the IRS 501(c) criteria to try to test to see, is my idea something that is going to be able to be recognized as a nonprofit idea? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that was my biggest first stumbling block area that I was concerned about, was the idea of giving money to children that were donated by other people. Is that going to be considered charitable? Because you can see normally it's like, giving food or giving clothing or giving all these other things, non-monetary contributions to children. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that this fundamentally was something I was really concerned about. And so, but the first step you have to do is create a corporation. Once you've established that you're going to do this, you need to establish a corporation in your state. And there's your state controller can tell you what that process is, but in Texas, you fill out a form, it's $25, and you have to name three people to be on your board of directors, and one of them has to be a non-family member. So on our board of directors, it was McGay, myself, and a friend of McGay's that used to work for Microsoft, and that was our core team. Mm-hmm. And then going through the process of submitting an application to the IRS, and each one of these steps, you're paying money out of your pocket. I have zero donations. All of it is just out of my own pocket. So submitting a nonprofit status request to the IRS and filling out the form, they had like 3 hours of training videos so that you could fill out this form properly.
Yeah, I've been there. I also put a not-for-profit together and just felt the process firsthand, and it's a process. Nothing is fast. Nothing is expedient. Well,
I was really impressed. I was scared by this 1023 form mm-hmm. that the IRS makes you fill out, but people often hire a lawyer, and it's like $5,000 to hire a lawyer to fill out this 1023 form, but they also have a 1023 EZ form. So if you're going to make less than $50,000 a year with your organization, yeah. within the next 3 years, you can use that. And it's a $275 application fee. It mm-hmm. was like two pages. I didn't have to come up with a complicated financial statement and all these other things. And within 3 weeks, I got a letter from the IRS saying you're approved.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
Damn.
That was way fast. I mean, they must work better in Texas than they do in Maryland. It took my 6 months. And they didn't request any more information. So I kept calling, Yeah. So I guess results may vary.
Yeah, results may vary. But then after that, you then have to establish your corporate entity, your branding. Mm-hmm. So I had to create a website. So I signed up for Wix and created a Wix website, which was fantastic because I'm a technical person, but I'm not a web developer. And it was just nice that they had all these, you know, pre-populated screens with images already. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. But I had to change all the words and make sure everything. But you also need, you know, what phone number am I going to use? What mm-hmm. physical address am I going to use? So I'm using my personal physical address because I don't want to pay for an office. Mm-hmm. My goal is to make every dollar that we have donated go to the children.
That's awesome.
And contribute. So any fee I have, you know, $200, I mean, that's two kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather have that money go to the kids wherever possible.
Yeah.
You know, and then creating business cards and printing business cards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Christine.
I was just going to ask, on your site, can we donate already? Is there an opportunity to sponsor a few kids on your site?
Yeah, so on the site, so we're called the UTMA All-Stars, so it's www.utma-all-stars.org, and on there we have a listing to there's a Zelle account that you can wire money from. Most banks have Zelle,
mm-hmm.
so you can use Zelle. We also support Venmo. We also support Fidelity Charitable. And we also support Vanguard Charitable. So if you have accounts in any of those entries, we also have a PO box. So if you want to mail a letter with a check saying, you know, hey, Brad, we really want to support your organization. It's PO Box 19453 in Sugar Land, Texas, 77496. And then, you know, we'll deposit the money in our Chase bank account. And then as we meet with the children in January, you know, every one of those dollars is going to go into those accounts. Now,
awesome.
The one thing that we're working on right now is to get insurance. We are dealing with young children. So we do need to make sure we have general liability because I wanted to get a venue to be able to, you know, have our first meeting. And they're like, oh, well, you need $3 million in liability. You need $100,000 in facilities. And it just kind mm-hmm. of skipped my head that, oh, yeah, we need insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need insurance to cover the board of directors, too. So that, you know, I'm right now trying to get a quote for a policy. I'm hoping it's, you know, in the range of $100 to $150 a month or something. But we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that is, you know, just the operations of the facility, you know, operations, you know, life insurance. And, you know, if you want to rent a venue, you know, that's like $300 for 2 hours or 3 hours.
Right.
So, you know, but we're not, you know, we're not religiously affiliated. Our mm-hmm. goal is, you know, we're not doing a means test to say, oh, you know, sorry, your mom's wearing Dolce & Gabbana shoes or whatever. You know, but the intent is that every dollar that we're giving is going towards a needful group. And to be honest, in Fort Bend County, 50% of the children attending Fort Bend ISD are disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
50%. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a rich opportunity for us to really make a difference.
Right, right. I just thinking about, you know, past experiences and running PTA events and school events, you know, one suggestion is maybe you just do it at the school. They usually have insurance riders for events. No, you can't do it.
No, you have to show your insurance. You have to show proof of insurance before you can get the facility. And then they charge you $175 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was learnings, unexpected, how much goes into, because children are involved and school is involved, the insurance thresholds are mm-hmm. Quite high, whether mm-hmm. it's one child or 1,000 children, you have to go through the setup and infrastructure
right.
of this. So still in the process of securing insurance and also partnering with institutions like Chase so that there's partnership in that regard. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's it's a lot more complicated than we think.
And having an agreement, working and trying to identify a lawyer to help us build out a parental agreement to say, oh, this is what we're going to say, this is what we're going to do, this is what we expect you to do, and the terms of how we do the matching and all that we're going to lay out for them. So
nice.
Our goal is to have everything ready by January 20th, Saturday, on the 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we're going to just kick. And it's going to be awesome.
That's awesome.
It's a great way to, it's a great way to start the new year. That's exactly the kind of resolution we can rally behind. So as we wind down on our segment, I think we had a great conversation on UTMA All-Stars purpose, the joy and meaning, Brad, it is giving you in your post-corporate America life. So I think for our subscribers to follow and contribute to UTMA All-Stars, it's through the website, it's through the means that you called out.
Yes, that's right, Muge. And the website, again, for everyone is UTMA All-Stars. That's UTMA-all-stars.org. And hope you can support this wonderful, wonderful endeavor. With that, we'll sign off. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.